Hi.
Hello. Hi, Harmony.
Hi.
So welcome, listeners, to this episode of Vibrating the Cosmos podcast. And I'm so excited to have astrologer Divine Harmony on today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let me do a little bit of an introduction for you, for people who don't know who you are. So, well, I'll just say I actually found out about her work through Goddess Rising Mystery Schools. And so that can give you a little bit of an idea of where she's coming from with her astrology. She's really interested in talking about the solar gates and really cultivating and aligning with those energies of the solar gates of the wheel of the year. She's into Jungian psychology. So she's really interested in getting into the depth of the shadow and the shadow work of Jung. But also her work is really is also informed by her own spiritual journey. She's been to a lot of sacred sites like Egypt. And have you been to Avalon? Oh, yes.
I was actually kind of living there last year for 3 months.
Oh, of course. You've been to Avalon. So and the yogic sciences as well. Obviously where the Celtic lineages are in there as well. So why don't we just get started and talk about the astrological weather? Because it's really been, it's been a wild ride this past year.
I know. Yes, it has. Yeah. It totally has. Yeah. So, you know, astrology is all about cycles and things are constantly moving. And so each year is going to be different than any other year because there's a unique set of alignments happening. And this year, I've been terming the big astrology of 2019 the Capricorn confluence. It's what I kind of coined the term, and I write about it all the time in my blogs, because there's so much that's been piled up in Capricorn. Technically, this began when Pluto moved into Capricorn in 2008 and Saturn moved into Capricorn end of 2017. But then the nodes joined. The karmic south node moved into Capricorn, and then, of course, the north node opposite it into Cancer, November of 2018. And so just in the last part of 2018 and all throughout this year and then into next year some, we've had Saturn, Pluto, and the karmic south node all piled up into Capricorn. And it's kind of a lot. You know, Saturn is the lord of karma, the father of time. His highest expression is amazing. He's about self-mastery and integrity and hard work and showing up to do the work. The image for Capricorn, the contemporary image, is the mountain goat going up the rocky, craggy mountain no matter the weather pattern. You know, he's going to make it to the top no matter what. Yeah. So there's this tenacity and this capacity to really move through and get to the top and move through the crap that comes up. And the shadow of Saturn is he's about karma, and he highlights where we're out of integrity, where we're stuck, stagnant, no longer evolving, where we're tied to an old paradigm, especially in the sign of Capricorn. He rules where we are coming from a patriarchal standpoint, or being rigid or controlling or dogmatic, or avoiding being responsible, avoiding having integrity. All of these things have been magnified with Saturn and Capricorn. And then Pluto, he's the roto-rooter of the zodiac, you know, so he comes in to clear out the stuck, stagnant crap, and he exposes what's, you know, stuck and crappy, and he exposes what's in the shadow. So he's amazing for transformation and regeneration. One of the images for Pluto is the phoenix, you know, rising out of the ashes. People love that symbol. But I always have to remind everybody that before the phoenix rose out of the ashes, everything was previously lit on fire. And, you know, that's Pluto. He takes you through the fire. He takes you into the underworld. He shows you what's shadowy and what's toxic and stuck. And these two teaming up has been pretty intense. And then add in the karmic south node that's actually ruled by Saturn. And both Pluto and Saturn have aligned with the south node this year. Pluto end of March, early April, and Saturn three times from May to September. They've both been majorly forcing us to see what's karmic, what's out of integrity, what's not working, what's stuck or stagnant or patriarchal or old paradigm or toxic, personally, but also collectively. And, you know, depending on your chart, where it's falling is different, but it's been a massive call to face the shadow and to face the crap. And, you know, I feel like this year has actually been a preparation for next year, because next year we're actually going to have a Saturn-Pluto conjunction, which starts a new 33-year cycle. And we're in the midst of finishing one right now that was 38 years. The Saturn-Pluto conjunction in 1982 is what we're finishing now.
Yeah.
But we're starting a new one, and this has been preparing us. Like, I have this theory that the people who have actually been working with what's coming up this year, instead of running away from it, escaping it, spiritually bypassing, ignoring, denying, but if you've actually been working with it, you are better prepared for next year when this new cycle gets seated. But if you've been avoiding it, next year might be intense, you know?
Yeah. Well, do you think that, do you think, I mean, I sort of thought of it, or maybe even heard from you, in the beginning of the year when you were sort of setting the tone for this year, of these actions, powerful planets, you know, it's kind of like, your obsessions and addictions, or your quote unquote distractions, whatever they are, you know, if it's overeating or scrolling on social media or whatever it is, those things aren't going to work anymore. It's almost as if, you know, they're just not going to, something's going to keep reminding you, and this kind of like nagging, gnawing thing, you know, in the corner of your psyche, just telling you, no, you got to look at this. You got to look at this. What I love about, you know, like I said, the shadow work you do, on your Instagram, you had this post that says, "I'm a shadow hunter."
This
of my mind, excavate the darkness of my heart, and make peace with the demons and the ghouls within me. Do you think you can say something about why we shouldn't be afraid of the shadow, and how we can kind of approach integrating these energies? Can you say something a little bit about that?
Yeah. So first of all, just so people understand my background, so I have my degree in depth psychology, and then I've been studying with my shadow work teacher, Robert Masters, for 4 years now. So this astrology and depth psychology / shadow work has been, like, you know, my two main things. And then I weave them together. And so the shadow is what's in the unconscious. Of course, you probably, if anybody's been in psychology 101, they always show that image of the iceberg and, like, you know, the tip of the iceberg that's above the water, that's the conscious self. It's what you know about yourself. And then what's below the surface, which is often 3/4 of the iceberg, you know, so much more of the iceberg is underneath the water, but you don't see it. Yeah. That's the unconscious. And there's different layers. There's the personal unconscious and subconscious, and then there's the collective unconscious. But it's in the unconscious. It's not seen. It's not visible. But the thing is, our totality is the whole entire iceberg. And so that which we're not aware of in ourselves kind of goes underground, and it runs us from behind the scenes. And so, you know, like I remember reading something, it was years ago, so I can't remember who to reference, but something to the degree of like 90% of the decisions we make in life, from who we marry, to how we eat, to what we wear, to the career we choose, actually those decisions are made from our unconscious. They're driven from unconscious forces, wounding from childhood, expectations that were layered on us. You know, like I had a client who was a lawyer for, you know, 40 years, and it was because his father was a lawyer. And then all of a sudden he went through this like midlife crisis transits a little bit later. And it was like, I don't want to do this. But he'd never known that he had made that decision. Yeah. From the unconscious, like he always thought he was choosing it, but he wasn't. Sure. And then we can see this in our relationship patterns, especially in our relationship patterns. When you find yourself in a relationship with someone where the same stuff's coming up that came up in the last 10 relationships, and you're like, how am I here again?
That's karma, isn't it? The cycle of karma. It's like, get off that cycle, get off
that ride. It's the cycle of karma, but it's the unconscious. If you're not addressing the deeper layers of why you drew this person or this type of situation into your life, it's going to keep happening. So shadow work is about turning towards what's hidden, because my understanding of enlightenment is bringing light to everything and bringing all the pieces of the self back into integration, into wholeness. Integrity literally means, you know, all parts of self brought back into wholeness. And so Integrity actually is a really good determining factor of the level of work someone's doing on themselves. So if they're in integrity or if they show up in integrity and high level of integrity, you know that they've done deep work. And if they don't, and if there's like a schism between how they are here and how they are there, their outer life and their inner life, or their public life and their personal life, then that's actually a sign of like, you know, disconnect inside and shadow being kind of pushed to the side and not addressed. I am of the belief that that working with the shadow is necessary for the evolution of humanity and for the preservation of our planet, because there is so much schism and disconnect from shadow externally. Yeah. We see it in our political figures and in, you know, the wars between countries, like that, those wars without mirror the war and the split within. And sometimes it's easy for us to like point fingers and go, oh, that public figure, oh, that celebrity, oh, that country or that color skin people or that religion. And if we aren't doing the deep inner look, anything that we're pointing to outside, it means nothing, because we're actually projecting our own stuff externally. It doesn't mean that it's not actually happening, but what we're using, what we're doing is we're using it to avoid facing ourselves. So shadow work is all about turning towards the pain, turning towards the shadow, turning towards what previously we've been escaping, so that we can work with it, relate to it. As long as we don't know about it or we don't want to know about it, we tend to actually get enmeshed with it. And then we operate from it. But when we can separate out from it and see it and be like, oh, that's my wounded child acting up. That's my, you know, inner bitch that's pissed off. That's my whatever. And then we can separate out from it and we can have a dialogue, as opposed to being so enmeshed with it that we can't escape from it, or we're trying to escape from it, so we're, you know, spiritual bypassing.
Spiritual bypassing.
That's a big one.
Yeah, I've been there. I do it. I mean, we all do it. Yeah.
We all do it.
It's like, let's just think positive right now.
Yeah. Well, we all do it. And especially in spiritual communities, you know, the yoga community or the priestess community, particularly, it can be very potent. I remember I taught at some yoga festivals. And then when I really started getting deeper into the shadow work, I taught a shadow work workshop at one of these festivals. And it was packed, like people falling out of the tent. And afterwards, people were coming up to me like, thank you for bringing these teachings to this community. And then, you know, other people going, wow, I'd never even heard of this. This was so illuminating. I learned about it from my teacher, Robert Masters. He's written an excellent book by the same name. It's called Spiritual Bypassing. But yeah, it was eye-opening when I first learned about it. And yeah, it's important to know we all do it. It's also important to know we all have shadow. So it's like we all got it. So now it's just like, do we want to own it? Do we want to work with it? And also what's really important when we're working with our shadow is self-love. Because you can't come to shadow work from a place of, let me beat it out of myself, you know?
Isn't that essentially what we're learning with all this action, is actually learning compassion for ourselves, so that we can then, therefore, when we learn that to give that to ourselves, we can therefore, you know, extend that out into our relationships and to, you know, culture and, well, the collective, the beyond.
Yeah, so. Precisely. And, it's such a deep journey. And you know, I was actually saying this to my friend the other day too, because you don't get into working with your shadow for, you know, certificates or for like, oh, look at me, I made it through the shadow in a 6-week course and now I'm fully integrated. Like, this is only initially inner work. Like, I did not get into shadow work because I was like, I actually want to teach this. I was just like, I need to deal with my stuff. Why does this keep happening? You know, it was my suffering that brought me to the deepest place of going, okay, I'm done repeating these patterns. What do I need to do to change this? So what draws you into this work is deeply personal. It's not something that's going to be a sales pitch, or you take selfies about yourself in the pit of your shadow and post about it. you know, and initially when you start to get into the shadow, I'll tell you those first couple of years are pretty intense because all the stuff starts coming up. So it's not a pretty journey initially.
No.
And it's making you face all the stuff you've been spending your whole life avoiding. So, you know, and not a lot of people, more people are now, but, you know, not a lot of people are called to the path. And then once they start in the path, there's a certain amount that don't even stay because it's like, wait, why am I doing this? Like, what's the reward?
Yeah.
And the reward is wholeness, but it's a journey. You have to get into the pain, the grief, the anger that you've been blocking first. So you got to feel all the feelings you've not wanted to feel. Then you start making your way, you know, through it. But it's initially, it looks, you know, for some rational people, it's like, why would I want to do that?
I think it's also important not to isolate, when you're really in the
moment.
It's talking to a friend that you can trust, that's not going to judge. And, or, you know, even getting, you know, more therapeutic help.
If
that's, you know, if you need help, because sometimes it's really hard to be in that dark, the dark night of the soul, you know, it's like trying to find your way can be tough sometimes. So reaching out is really good.
And I really hope that therapy and especially somatic based therapy, because my teacher, Robert, it's not just heady. We're not just talking about our childhood. We're getting into our bodies and where the emotions got blocked, and we're getting into so there's a very physical piece, and I would love to see somatic based therapy become more accessible and be on health insurance. Cause there's, I mean, honestly, there's so many people I feel like could benefit from this, but it's like, you know, they don't have the resources for it. And that's, you know, it makes me sad because it's okay, if you have enough money, then you can work on this.
Right.
I think this is, you know, as important as clean air and clean water and clean food, which is also an issue right now on the planet. But
Well, do you want to thank you for that? Because I totally agree that for me, working through my garbage, it's really been about getting into a deeper embodiment in my body and feeling those painful patterns and really releasing through the body is so powerful. Yeah. Just letting yourself feel and letting yourself let go. And I mean, it's really important to, again, when you're really in the thick of it, to have a facilitator to really help you move a lot of that.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into then, do you want to shift and talk about how, I mean, I know you're going to be doing this amazing webinar November 9th and 10th.
So my friend John Wadsworth, who's also an astrologer and really into embodiment and the shadow, we are doing a weekend workshop together November 9th and 10th. It's 2 days, 2 hours each day. It's online, so it's accessible wherever, and you can watch it later too if you can't be live. And it's about the extraordinary planetary alignments of 2020. We have some very big astrology incoming next year. And day one, we talk about the social collective implications. You know, politically, environmentally, all of that. And day two is all about the personal implications, and people will be working with their charts based on their sun sign, their rising sign, or any planets that may be getting transited by some of these big factors that are playing out. You know, there's a bunch of things happening next year, but two of the biggest are definitely the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, which is starting a new 33-year cycle. The one that we're ending was 38 years long because of Pluto's erratic orbit. It can be longer or shorter, but it's, you know, between 30, 40 years. And we're starting a brand new cycle, which is really potent because it's Saturn, the Lord of Karma, and Pluto, the Lord of the underworld. And it could be about starting something massively beneficial and potent. It can also be really karmic and intense to whatever degree we're not actually getting to the root and the foundation of issues, or where we're trying to hold on to power, or where we're not coming from integrity. Right. And so that is happening. And then we actually have the Pluto Eris square. And Eris is a new body discovered in 2005. Every time a new body gets discovered, it's historically important for humanity, and it has an energetic resonance with whatever's birthing in the collective. So Uranus was discovered in the 18th century. Time of revolution and industrial revolution, American Revolution, and Uranus ruled revolution. Neptune was discovered in the 19th century. and governs drugs. It was pharmaceutical drugs were created then. Also governs spirituality and mysticism. And it was the dawn of a new understanding of spiritualism and occultism. And then Pluto was discovered in the 20th century. Pluto governs nuclear power, the capacity to kill, and the atom was split. And Pluto also governs the unconscious and shadow work. And Freud and Jung discovered, you know, the unconscious and really brought that into awareness through their teachings. So each time a planet is discovered, it's important. So now Eris, the goddess of discord and chaos, has been discovered in the 21st century. And it's like, what is she heralding? I am of the belief that her her current story is a patriarchal rewrite. So, you know, in short, she was the goddess of discord and chaos. So she wasn't invited to this wedding party because they didn't want discord at the wedding. And she got mad. She showed up at the party with a golden apple and it said to the fairest. And then she threw the apple in front of the goddesses that were at the party. And the goddesses proceeded to fight over who was the fairest. Essentially, what Eris did was reveal some really shady competition happening between the goddesses that you would not expect from divine beings, you know, who are really solidly anchored in their own self-worth and self-love. And so what Eris does is she reveals what's underneath. She like throws the apple to create the eruption or disruption to show us what's actually going on beneath the surface. So she's amazing for revealing. And she's also a warrior goddess. She's the sister of Ares, and Ares is the god of war. So she's the goddess of war. And in her highest expression, she can appear as Joan of Arc. She's actually strong in the chart of Joan of Arc. Or she can be like Wonder Woman. You know, who, like the movie that recently came out, like she was a warrior, but she had a softness and a heart. She cared about babies and people, but she was like ready to go to battle for the people that were like trying to destroy the planet. So there's an awakening of the female warrior archetype, you know, women, but also men, you know, who honor the goddess. Like, we've been so good at this mothering, nurturing feminine, and it's now it's kind of time to move a little beyond that and get into the, like, okay, you've messed the world up enough. We're on the brink of who knows what could happen to our planet. I'm not going to coddle you anymore. Like, I'm going to, you know, smack you awake.
Yes.
or whatever. I mean, that sounds a little.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's what she is. And so Pluto square Eris, it's not just 2020, it's also 2021. But these last few weeks leading up to, you know, when we're recording and you're going to be releasing, we've actually been having big triggers of the Pluto Eris square. The full moon in Aries was conjunct Eris square Pluto. Jupiter made some minor triggers of both Pluto and Eris, and the sun just triggered it, sun in Libra, and then the Mars will in, I think, early November. So we're actually kind of getting a preview of what this is going to be about. So I've been telling people in my column, like, pay attention to what's happening in your life right now. Because it's kind of like a hint of what next year is going to be about. And you can start getting on board. Because the thing with some of these more intense transits, like when you're proactive, when you're like, hey, I want to deal with this. Let's get into this. Let's get down to the bottom. What do I need to work with? What needs to be explored? When you come towards it, it's a completely different experience. When you're running away from it, then the universe has to deal some heavier, you know, things to get you to be like, oh, okay, I'll face this now instead of run away or deny. So it's, the Pluto Air Square is going to be big. I think it's actually quite huge. And interestingly, not a lot of astrologers are talking about it. There definitely are some. But even in the full moon write-ups, I don't usually have a lot of time to read other people's stuff. But I saw a couple recently, and nobody was mentioning the fact that the full moon was conjunct Eris. And I was like, how how do you miss that? Like, this is important. So,
I do love that, I do. So, I mean,
I'm very into the goddess. I mean, you know, I was raised born again Christian, and I, you know, there was no goddess. There was no female part of God or there was no daughter of God. It was just Jesus.
Right.
And so, and then even the Holy Spirit was never referenced as feminine. So yes. I remember when I first yes. woke up to the fact that there was a female divine figure, like I remember like light bulbs going on in my head. Aww. And then all of a sudden yes. realizing like, of course, why didn't I ever question this? Like, why didn't I go, wait, there's something missing, you know, but I felt yeah. like I always felt it, but I didn't know how to put words to it. And so, yeah, my part in the talk is definitely, I'm going to be talking about the goddesses Eris, Ceres, the Great Mother, is a big part of the astrology next year, Black Moon Lilith Ooh. When she moves into Aries, Pallas Athena, the political goddess.
Beautiful.
I'll be weaving all that yeah. in. So if anybody's so interested, I can give you the link. You can post it with the podcast.
This is on the 9th and 10th of November. This, what you're talking about, the goddess astrology?
Yeah, November That's... 9th and 10th, we'll be talking about nice. The astrology of 2020, and some of the big stuff involves goddesses. So that'll be part of what I'm sharing. Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm so excited for that. I feel like this is a great juncture then to talk. I mean, we're talking about Pluto, and what's great about it is that we're heading into Pluto season. I think I'm publishing this when the sun moves into Pluto. So
into Scorpio. All about into Pluto. Scorpio. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, again, back to this energy of the Phoenix, right? It's like we need to clear all this stuff before we rise as the Phoenix. Do you want to talk about Pluto and Venus?
Yes. Yeah.
Talk about yeah, that. So, what's going on with that? Because that's
so
juicy.
we're in a powerful Venus cycle. And, you know, you and I were talking earlier. I was like, I feel like I've been living the journey of Venus the last year or so, because it's been so intense and transformative, really transformative. So this time last year, I was in Egypt and I was leading a pilgrimage. And as Venus stationed retrograde in Scorpio, we were in the middle pyramid in Giza and we were doing a ceremony in the sarcophagus. And that's how we started this whole like really powerful cycle.
Oh,
it was very amazing. And then she made her conjunction with the sun. And technically that's when she started her new cycle. And that was at the karmic 29th degree of Libra. So it shows like, this is a Venus cycle of completion, of really bringing up anything unresolved so we can address it, especially with Libra. You know, Venus rules Libra. And there's so much beauty mm-hmm. to Venus and Libra, you know, relational, yeah. compromising, collaborative. The shadow of Venus and Libra, though, is it's so focused on relationship, it'll forget about the self. It'll enable, be codependent, be over-focused on other people, and will have a hard time standing on their own and doing what they need to do for them, kind of a thing. So Venus began her cycle at a very karmic degree. And then throughout this whole entire Venus journey, she makes tense aspects to Pluto. So when she heliacal set, when she disappeared from the morning sky and went into her underworld phase, she was making a tense aspect to Pluto. And when she had her other exact conjunction to the sun, she made a tense aspect to Pluto. That was August 13th.
Yeah.
And then when she rose, which just happened a few weeks ago, as an evening star, mm-hmm. she made a tense aspect to Pluto. So she's going through Venus, the goddess, but also women, the divine feminine in men and women are going through such a profound death and rebirth experience right now. Massive, 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 like huge. And it really, you know, it has been this whole excavation of what is holding you back from your evolution. What is toxic and stagnant and stuck? Like that roto-rooter that I call Pluto, you know, it's like getting a colonic, right? And it's like, where have you got some old shit you're hanging on to? Like, Pluto is like a spiritual colonic or emotional or psychological and physical. So it's been a doozy. It's been a doozy of a journey. The good news is she's on the rise. So she made her heliacal rise, she did so square Pluto, who stationed direct. Like Pluto came out of his own underworld.
Oh, God. Because he was retrograde. He was retrograde from April.
I was looking at this symbolism. I'm like, wow. You know, like it can't get more powerful and intense. And now we're heading into Samhain or Scorpio season. First of all, the sun moves into Scorpio next week, as you mentioned. Early next week.
Yeah.
And then we're heading into Samhain, which is, I don't know if everybody in your podcast is familiar with the wheel of the year, but you can divide the whole solar year into eight periods of time. And four of those are the solstices and the equinoxes. And then the other four are called the cross quarter days, Imbolc, Beltane, Samhain, and which one did I miss? Lammas, Lugnasa. And so Samhain, we're heading into the last eighth of the year before the sun starts the whole journey through the wheel of the year again at winter solstice. So we're actually, I call the Samhain portal the dark of the sun. You know, we've got the dark of the moon, the very end of the lunar cycle, the dark moon, the balsamic moon. Well, now we're having the dark of the sun or the balsamic sun. This is the darkest part of the sun's journey. And it's going into Scorpio, which is the sign of the underworld. I have a theory, and I don't know how to confirm this because you need past life charts to confirm it. But I have this theory that Scorpio is the eye of the needle. So I feel like we're given a bunch of lifetimes where we're given lots of power, lots of money, lots of charisma. These are all, you know, magnetism. These are Scorpio energies. And the universe sees, what do we do with it? Do we abuse our power? Do we take advantage? Do we get, you know, egotistical and domineering and controlling? And then I think we're given a bunch of lifetimes where we don't have any power or any money. And then the universe sees, do we still maintain our integrity? Do we still show up to do the work that's asked of us? Like, how can we show up when we have it or we don't have it? And then I feel like at a certain point, you learn the lessons. You learn how to stay in integrity, no matter if you become famous or you're never known, no matter if you're super wealthy or if you're poor, can you maintain the center? And then I feel like that's when you go through the eye of the needle and then you catapult into a whole other level of your like evolution. That's my theory anyhow. So,
That's awesome.
Scorpio, that's is this season we're moving into, and we're moving into the dark of the sun. It's the last part of the solar year. It's about death and endings and release and letting go, purging, completing. You know, it's like the seed that gets planted in the earth. Actually, the winter solstice will be the seed getting planted in the earth. But right now we're letting everything lay fallow, letting the decayed stuff get back into the mulch of the earth. We're turning within. And really, you know, the earth is doing that depending on where you live. I grew up in Hawaii, so we didn't have a lot of the seasonal differences that people have in like Wisconsin, for example. But, you know, in California, we do like where I live in Ojai, it is getting colder, you know, and then the sun is setting earlier. So it's darker earlier and the sun is rising later. So it's darker in the morning. So you start seeing these changes and it's just this pull inside, which is one of the best ways to work with this time. And then also one thing I wanted to mention. So there's calendar Samhain, which is, you know, the calendar version of Samhain, Halloween into All Souls Day, the next day, November. So October 31st to November 1st. But there's lunar Samhain, which happens when the new moon's in Scorpio. This year, that's October 27th. And then there's solar Samhain. And I actually do these solar gate calls, eight calls throughout the solar year that are all about the solar portals for these dates, which equinox and solstice is always the solar portal. It's like when the sun moves into Aries, it's spring equinox. Sun, Cancer, it's summer in the northern hemisphere. If you're in the south, it's reverse. But the cross quarter days, the precise solar alignment is when the sun hits 15 degrees of fixed signs, 15 Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius. And for Samhain this year, that's November 7th, which is actually a week after the calendar date that tends to be celebrated. My understanding, based on my research, is the calendar date used to be aligned with stellar cycles. It used to be aligned with the Pleiades, the heliacal rising, setting, or culminating of the Pleiades. But because the precision of the equinoxes and how the things have slowly shifted over time, there's actually not a precise stellar alignment anymore with the calendar date. And there's also, unless the new moon falls on that day, there's not a lunar alignment, and there's also not a solar alignment. And so I personally find the lunar and the solar gates more potent because they're actually tuning in to portals that the sun and the moon are making. And you can see it as a whole window of time. So you can call it the Samhain window this year is October 27th through November 7th. And the calendar version falls in the middle, but each year it's different. You know, sometimes the new moon is in November. And so then it goes, you know, the windows later. It's different each year.
Yes. No, thank you for that. Can you go into a little bit of what the energies we can access in those powerful points in the time of the year? What do you think we'd be tuning into and cultivating during these portals, during this portal, the Samhain portal?
This one? Well, this one, you know, I call it the gate of death. But, and you know, yeah. Death isn't bad. Like, we live in a culture where we are so light polarized, you know, so it's like life, yes. And artificial intelligence, and how can we extend our lives, and how can we make ourselves live longer? And it's like, maybe it's a better use of our time and energy to make sure the planet can survive, because do you really want to be living forever on a planet that's like, you know, having issues? But anyhow, you know, so I think there's even a book called The Denial of Death, and there's like this whole disassociation from death. And death is a part of life. You know, the yin and the yang, there's the black and the white part. Well, the white part's life and the black part's death. And yeah. We need to honor death just as we honor life. And this is a time to honor death. This is a time, and obviously we each die usually once in our lifetime. So I'm talking more about the metaphoric, emotional, psychological, spiritual deaths that we go through. There's many that yeah. we'll experience in one lifetime. Yeah. And then usually we just really die once. Sometimes people have near-death experiences. I actually did. Yeah. I had a near-death experience when I was born.
Wow.
I almost died and then came back. Yeah, I was born the day Pluto stationed direct.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, well, that was a very Plutonian birth experience. Luckily, I survived.
Yeah.
So, you know, but usually we just die once. And making peace with death, making peace with loss and endings and letting go and sacrifice and surrender. These are energies in our Western culture that are like, what? You know, because Western culture is all about more, you know, visibility, true. Making more money. How are you building things? And there's not an honoring of how are you allowing things to end? How are you letting go? Being okay with times when you're behind. There's this sense of we always have to be ahead. But actually the other side yeah. of that is, when are we behind and when can we honor that? Or when do we need to lay fallow so that we can allow that earth of our being to mulch and get ready for the new seed that wants to be planted? If we're just, I mean, you beautiful. Can look at the agriculture. It's like these farmers that are just not letting the land lay fallow, and they're planting. They're stripping right. the earth. The crop right. is not as fertile. It's not as vibrant. It's right. And that's the same with us. And so this is a time to really go within. Ironically, it's a time of a bunch of holidays, especially, you know, in Christmas or Hanukkah and the December, you know, part where we like run around and go to parties and we're shopping and
right.
And right. really the natural impulse is to go inside, like the, you know, the cave and the bear. Yeah. And it ends up true. Being this time where we've got so much going on.
Yeah, oh my gosh. It's intense, because I guess a lot of people get depressed around that time, because yes. I think maybe they're fighting the natural rhythm of where they need to be. You know, and it's like, you have to be, like you said, so external and so running around and actually, like, you have to get stuff done by that yep. day, you know, because you got to celebrate with everyone and this and that and the other. But I think that's actually really great that you just went into further into those poetics, because it's, you know, we've been talking about Pluto so much, and it's about this idea of also holding the void, you know,
yes.
because it's like, Pluto creates a void. It like just takes so much away. And that can be really scary
yes.
to not know, you know, what's next, but being able to hold that space of the fallow, you know, the fallow
and
ground
trust,
and just being like,
and
okay,
trust and surrender. Trust. I mean, I can tell you, I'm learning this one this year in a whole new level. You know, there's always deeper teachings, right? So you never like get yes. to a place where you're like, I have arrived.
Yeah.
It's like, nope. You yeah. know, and the moment you say that, honestly, I've seen this happen to a few people in my life where they think right. they've handled all their karma and now they're just here to, you know, help the collective. And the moment they say that, right. boom, something very intense, personal comes into their life. And I'm just like, you know, face plant. I'm like, no, never say that. Just never say that. Stay humble and just realize you still got more. We've always got more. keeps you grounded. Yes. But I personally, this last year, has been so much of that, of letting go and emptying out and just going, wow, like, I'm going through divorce. I've had to terminate connections with communities I've been a part of. I've had to terminate connections with professional communities I've worked in or taught in. Like, it's been like, let go, let go, let go every which way for me. Yeah. For me, Saturn and Pluto and the South Node have been, I'm Cancer, so it's been in my house of relationship and marriage. And then I'm Pisces rising, and it's been in my house of friendship and community and groups that I've been. And that's been literally so much purging, so much letting go. I mean, to the point where I'm like, is there anything more I can let go of? I mean, I feel like I'm pretty cleared out now. I know. It's like, oh, well, yeah, actually there is. Here's one more.
I think I recall you saying something on your Instagram about going through just clearing so many, like, I don't know exactly how you put it, clearing many lifetimes.
That's what it feels like. I mean, well, first of all, like, when I just think of when I was in Egypt last year, this time last year, I think I was just getting back to the USA this exact day last year, but just, you know, the last few weeks I was in Egypt last year in 2018. And when I look back, I'm like, wow, that feels like 5 years ago. Like, it doesn't feel like a year. And the level at which the things that I've been dealing with and processing and working through have been such deep, deep karmic things. Like, and that's actually been part of the Capricorn Confluence, by the way. It's like, some of your deepest held karmic patterns that you've been playing out for perhaps lifetimes are being really brought up in a huge way to be worked with. And it's an opportunity, though. I mean, I've seen it go both ways. I've seen people rise to the occasion and go, I'm ready to deal with this. And I've seen people run out the door and go, nope. Which, you know, we all are where we are. It's part of the journey. And it's been an interesting, my sense of time has been so kind of shifted, and especially in this last year. It's been kind of crazy.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. Time has been, and maybe that's the Saturn action too. I don't know, but it's like, I mean, I definitely was dragged. Time also went excruciatingly slow in that sense, where I just felt like I was in the same place emotionally and spiritually, mentally. And then things started to shift. And then I just got into more of a place of surrender and trust. And I think that was like a big key. But I also think that, you know, I don't know if you want to, before we go, just touch upon maybe, because I feel like it was around July when I was really accessing that Cancer energy, where I sort of picked myself up, and like what you said, I sort of rose to the occasion of just, I mean, I saw Amma. and just feeling her grace of just clearing the path for me. And that was sort of what my intention was for seeing her, just like clear the path, help me clear the path from Divine Mother. And I feel like that helped me move into another space. And that's where time stretched too. And then all of a sudden time stretched in a beautiful way. Where I wasn't even, you know, it was like the grace of like, wow. And then just so many things moved in the past 3 months for me. It was really amazing. And I'm not saying I'm there yet. Yeah. I'm not saying I've arrived. I haven't arrived yet, please. I know there's so much more. But I think this is great talking to you, because I feel like it's going to help people shift perspective on this kind of doom and gloom kind of talk about these planets that are really intense.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually love Pluto. I mean, I was born the day Pluto station direct, and I'm into shadow work, and I'm into, you know, so obviously.
Of course.
You know, he can be kind of heavy. July was that total solar eclipse in Cancer, you know, the North Node's in Cancer. So it's the sign of the Divine Mother. It's also the sign of emotions and feelings. And a big part of shadow work is honoring your emotions and your feelings, especially, I mean, not just the happy-go-lucky ones, but like, you know, the grief, the sadness, the anger, the rage, because those things are at the bottom of, you know, the iceberg, and they're down there, and they're operating behind the scenes, and they're running the ship. Yes. And until we work with them. So emotional intimacy is a big piece. Actually, over the summer, where was it? It started in May and went till June. So I led this course on astrology and your shadow. And I taught people how to use their chart to illuminate the shadow and then mm-hmm. gave them embodiment practices, journaling exercises, and guided meditations to work with the shadow. And it was amazing. Like, I loved this class. It was something that I felt wanting to come through for a couple of years, and I finally birthed it. And I'm actually going to re-release it in January in time nice. For all oh, the nice. Powerful astrology that's oh. incoming. And I mean, I still am getting emails from people going, that class was so deep for me. I'm still excavating stuff. I go back and I keep doing the exercises. And like, because the astrology chart's a map. It's a map of your soul yeah. and you can see all kinds of things with it. And I love teaching people how to read the map. You know, I actually don't, nice. I love doing readings actually. But I don't like being the one that has to tell you everything, like, or looking at me, like yes. I'm the one that can make your life better. Like, I don't want that. Like, I want to teach you how to fish, not just give you fish. Like, yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And so yes. it's yes. yeah, we're moving into deeper and deeper times, and the more people doing this work, the better, you know, for us personally, but also collectively, because I really feel like people doing this deep level of inner work should be the leaders on our planet. Mm-hmm. I see people who are committed to this level of work starting to rise into leadership, and you know, slowly but surely, in different areas. And so I see a shift coming, a necessary shift. And I feel so passionately that this work is a really big piece of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that beautiful. That was so beautifully put. I mean, I feel like people are ready and the stars are, quote unquote, aligning for this work. And you have the gifts to help facilitate and empower people to get into higher integrity. And it's about, you know, getting into a greater wholeness instead of encouraging farther separation from those exiled parts of ourselves. So that's just so inspirational. And I'm definitely will be thinking about joining this if you're going to be starting this in January, because it's just ramping up this energy of, you know, what we're distracting ourselves with is going to be even harder to distract ourselves from what needs to be healed and given compassion to. So,
yeah. And I really feel too, you know, these people who are doing this work, they are going to be the lighthouses for the others that are just going to get stuck, you know, going to just get thrown into needing to do this work, because.
Right.
So, yeah, the more of us bringing light to the shadow, the better, you know, the more that gets illuminated and brought into consciousness. And it's actually a beautiful time to be on Earth. It's also quite intense. I posted, I think it was today, I posted this quote by Freud. Interestingly, he wrote to Carl Jung. I usually am quoting Carl Jung, but he said, one day in retrospect, the years of struggle will strike you as the most beautiful. And that's, I think, what we're in right now is there's this big planetary energies that are really intense, but we're going to look back. And especially if we've risen to the occasion, we're going to look back at these years as really defining of our core essence, of our integrity, of these turning points in the path of our life and in the path of the planet, and more people rising to the occasion to, you know, take a stand for what is right.
Beautiful, beautiful. I think it's all about transmuting fear, isn't it? You know, these scorpionic kind of themes can be really scary.
They can. And, you know, the key is you got to move through the fear first before you can transmute it. So it's like you got to face the fear and feel the fear and move through the fear to transmute it. Beautiful. And so that's what the shadow work is. It's turning towards what we don't want to feel or don't want to face, which seems
right. Run towards
it. Run towards it. Well, then there's also the piece around, like, you know, trauma work is titration. So you go in slowly and you come back out for a breather and you're supposed to go as slow as the slowest part of yourself. Cause if you run towards it, you could totally just completely fragment yourself if you're not ready. So it's like, you know, there is, but yes, it's a great metaphor. And also, like, go as slow as the slowest part of yourself and honor your need for, okay, I just touched in a really big part here. Okay, I need to breathe. Maybe I need a little break from this for a second. Okay, I'll come back. And, you know, just realizing, like, this life is like a pearl on the necklace of all the lifetimes that we live. So it's like, yes, it's all in the now, and we're on a really long soul journey. And so just to honor, you know, the spaces in between, and honor that we're all going to get there eventually.
Beautiful. No, bringing it back to the soul. Yeah. Beautiful. Bringing it back to the eternal self. And again, just in the spirit of Samhain, and just getting into that energy of just being restful and reflective, and just, yeah, slowing down, like you said, like letting ourselves get a little bit behind, because that's just only going to help us when we go forward to be in deeper trust and integrity. Yeah.
And you can check out my website, Divine Heart. DivineHarmony.com. I actually, I'll have the Solar Gate call for Solar Samhain out probably by like November 3rd or something. If anybody's interested, it's part of my membership service. And I have calls where there's mythology and astrology and shadow work and guided meditations to work with the solar gate that we're moving through. Yeah, I love them. They're like devotional calls. I have so much fun preparing them.
Yeah. Nice. I'm going to have to join that call. I'm definitely inspired by this conversation, and I feel really positive and yeah, just seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And yes, I hope that we can talk again. Or maybe we can talk again.
That would be awesome. Perfect timing.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Right? Seeing where, because then the Saturn Pluto conjunct is going to be pretty direct in the beginning of January.
Yes,
right?
It's January 12th, and 2 days before is a lunar eclipse, mm-hmm. and 2 days before Uranus stations direct. Yeah.
Oh my god! All right, let's do it. So, is that a deal? You'll come back on in January.
I would love to. Okay, I would love to. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, so many blessings in this Saturn portal coming, and I'll see you there in your gate call, solar gate call.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's been such a pleasure.
Bye, everyone. Ta-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-